Accession number 30635, Mr. Doug Bone, Reel 10. Now, so we're talking about, you'd have regular leaves. Anything else that comes to mind, you know, from that period in Germany before you?
No, not really. Apart from, as I say, going on the trade test. And it's rather funny because when I was sat in Duisburg, in the Naffy in Duisburg, someone walked up to me and tapped me on the shoulder that I'd been to school with in Basingstoke. It's a small world.
Now, tell me why you decided to leave the army, because I think that's the next thing. Because you were a regular.
I was a regular soldier. And my basic reason for leaving the army was the fact that we had been compulsory transferred into Rimi.
That was behind it all.
That was behind it all.
Do you think you could have stayed with the unit? You know,
I could have stayed with the unit, and in fact, I did, having been out 6 months.
I'll come back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So that was why you were going to go. Now, how did you get out? I mean, had you done yet?
I'd done my 5 years service. So I was fully.
So it was a question of signing on, wasn't it?
It was a question of signing on again. Yes.
And you decided not to.
The colonel had me in the office and wanted me to. And I explained to him why. And I think he fully understood.
So, when did you leave? What was the process of leaving?
Well, I came back home. I left, I think, in June or July of 53. Must have been slightly earlier than that.
What, May or?
May. Every soldier at the time was entitled to a rehabilitation course of a month. And I took a course.
And what do you remember of the course?
Well, I chose, in the people in the village, in a small community like this, knew what everybody else was going to do for breakfast and having for next breakfast the next morning, if you know what I mean. And once people realised that I was coming out of the army and my father was still in the pub, the farm manager of the estate was a great friend of my father. And the owner of the estate, I should have said, in our very first session, that he was a colonel in the lifeguards. And he wanted me to join the lifeguards. When he realised that I'd joined the army, he sent for me and said, "Why didn't you join the lifeguards?" And I don't know why I didn't. He said, "Well, I'll try and get you transferred." And when I reported to Catrick initially, I told the personnel selection officer what was happening. But by that time, I'd done my aptitude test, and they considered me too intelligent to go and work in London with a lot of horses.
So what about this rehabilitation course? What were you going to do? That's what
I, as I say earlier, my father was friendly with the farm manager, and at that stage, the resident engineer on the farm was about to retire. So I was offered his job when I came out. So I went on to Ransom, Sims and Jeffries.
Where's that?
In Ipswich, who were agricultural engineers, manufacturers, and I spent a month there.
So you were studying agricultural engineering?
Yeah, well, studying is perhaps the wrong word, but
that's what you were doing?
That's what I finished up doing.
And was the course useful?
On reflection, no.
Why not?
Well, I was just put on an assembly line building ploughs. There wasn't a lot about ploughs that I didn't know by the time I'd finished, but I didn't know much else. On reflection, I should have gone to somewhere like Ford or Massey Ferguson or on a tractor.
Now, so what happens when you left the army? What's the procedure of leaving? You know.
Well, you were given, I suppose, a month's leave. I went to a demob centre in Woking, and got my suit and my bowler hat. And
when was that? Was that this May business?
Yes.
And what do you think of the suit?
Well, I suppose it was adequate. It was, it wasn't a bad suit. It was good material, and they were, it wasn't rubbish.
Now, so you came back to Dummer.
Yeah.
How did you? What we do is basically get you back into civilian life. You know, how did you settle down when you got back?
Well, I suppose it took. It was. We're talking of end of May and June now. And I spent that time getting to know people again, friends. I'd had childhood friends.
How did you settle back into civilian lifestyle? You know, not being in the army, not being regulated.
Well,
do you have any trouble?
No, not really. No.
You just fitted back into village life.
I slotted back into it pretty well, really, I suppose.
No problem with drinking too much or anything like that. That's sometimes happen.
That would happen today, but that didn't happen.
Now, what about your job at the farm?
Well, I then took the engineer's job on the farm with the condition that I would be eventually in sole charge of all the machinery. And I spent 6 months with the man that was retiring, who was a brilliant engineer, and I served virtually another apprenticeship with him. He was a brilliant engineer who had spent his lifetime in the diamond mines in South Africa. He was one of the engineers that was involved deeply with the electrification of Johannesburg, and he was profoundly deaf, and he spent hours with a hammer in his hand, stood by the anvil, which was in our workshop, just ringing the anvil with a hammer, and he could hear that. The man that I worked for was a Colonel Ferguson, and it's true to say that the old fitter that I worked with wouldn't harm a flea, but one man he could not get on with was Colonel Ferguson, and poor Colonel Ferguson had a very deep stammer. Incidentally, he was the only full colonel to ever to command the Household Cavalry. You know who I'm talking about now, don't you? The Duchess of York's grandfather.
Oh, that's who it is. That's the Colonel Ferguson. And what did you think of him?
He was a perfect gentleman. His wife had come to Dummer during the war and bought the manor house in the village, plus 30 acres of ground. And that's where she lived. The colonel never ever saw that because he was commanding the lifeguards in the desert. He eventually became one of the staff officers at 7th Armour Brigade. She and her sister, who eventually became Lady Dundee, used to have two naffy vans, and they used to drive out of Dummer every day then on to Salisbury Plain, and served tea to the squaddies.
During the war?
During the war. But when the colonel came back, he had caught, whilst he was in the desert, he'd caught TB, and he was given a massive dose of streptomycin, and he finished up with leukemia. So he was invalided out of the army, unfortunately. Else he would have stayed on. And
was he a good boss?
He was a good boss.
Now, did you enjoy the work?
Yeah, yeah.
How long did you do it for?
35 years.
So you stayed on the farm at the manor house for 35 years. Now, did you ever, I think you'd work, were you ever tempted to rejoin the army?
Yes,
you
I was.
You said after 6 months. Tell yes. us about that.
Well, we had, bearing in mind, you start, I try and impress upon everybody, and I've tried to impress upon to my granddaughter, who is now at university, the first 6 months or the first 2 years of any job is the roughest. And if you can overcome that, you'll overcome the rest of it. But during that first 6 months, we were now getting into the winter of, 53, 54. It was cold and it was miserable. And I was the new boy on the block. And some of these old boys that had worked on the farm had been there a long time, and they resented a new boy coming in and taking over their machinery. As I said earlier, the foreman of the day was the man that had the biggest hammer in his hand. And so consequently, I used to be expected to join in to feed the cattle at weekends and this sort of thing. And I can recall one day it being cold and miserable. So I sat down and wrote a letter to the old colonel and said, can I come back? And he said, you can come back and be rebadged as an 8th Hussar. You can come back tomorrow if you want to. And by which time I had met my wife, who was in the land army and working on the farm. And I said, I'm going back in the army. Are you coming? And she said, no. So I had a choice, didn't I? So I stayed.
Now, probably the wise choice in a way, but what about, did you have any reservist or TA commitment?
Yes, I did. I had 7 years reserve commitment.
Now, what did that entail?
Nothing, apart from cashing the check every quarter.
You weren't ever called up for training?
No, I wasn't. No, I was a regular reservist. The same category as the ones that were called up to come back to Korea with us. So,
did you worry when it was things like the Suez thing in 56?
Well, no, it would have been a blessed relief if I'd have got called back, wouldn't it?
But you weren't ever called up for
anything? I was never called up for any of it. I was assigned to a command workshop. I think I was assigned to Chilwell, which is a central vehicle workshop. Had I got called back, that would have been my home station. Where I'd have gone from there, God only knows.
But you never went there.
I never went there.
Now, the last thing really is the business about the Regimental Association and whether you keep in touch with them, because I think you are a keen member of the Regimental Association.
Yes. I'd like to carry on my time with the Ferguson family.
Okay, tell us a bit about that.
Because the old colonel, we'll call him, was a perfect gentleman. And sadly, he died in 1961. His leukemia caught up with him eventually. And his then son, Major Ronald Ferguson, took over, who equally was a good man. Unfortunately, he had a very bad press. But I enjoyed every minute of it, and he was a perfect gentleman, in a slightly different way to his father, if you can understand
what was his father's name, first name?
Andrew.
Andrew Ferguson, right. So you got on well with Ronald, Major Ronald Ferguson as well?
I did, but yes. The estate was left to him when his father died, and he left the army. He was a lifeguard. So he left the army and came and lived in the village here, and they lived on the estate. The estate had been split up a bit. So they sold some of the ground, and the manor house had gone, and they'd moved then out of the village into another old farmhouse. It had been restored and enlarged, where the family still lives, where the Major, Ronald's wife, still lives, and son.
So you were still the farm engineer or fitter or whatever,
yeah.
And that enjoyed the work?
Yeah. I was my own boss, virtually. I used to come and go when I wanted to. And I used to try to be a season ahead of the farm, if you know what I mean. During haymaking and silaging in the beginning of the summer, I would be then getting the combine ready for harvest.
Making sure it all worked, ready.
Made sure it all worked. I should never forget the first year I was there. Then farm manager, incidentally, he also was an Irish guardsman during the war. And I hadn't got the combines ready for harvest at that stage, but they virtually didn't even get to the field that they were going to cut before they broke down. And I vowed and declared that that would never happen again, and it didn't. And there's a letter in here from the then farm manager. Saying, well, you know, this is a step up from what it was a couple of years ago.
So you enjoyed the work. And, I mean, was it just working on the machines, all the different types of machines?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about it? Did you know the daughter?
As I say, Major Ronald and his wife moved to the village. And his first wife, her brother, was an Irish Hussar. And I knew him before I knew her, if you know what I mean. He was in the regiment when I was. He came to Lunenburg as a reinforced officer, or reinforcements for us, having lost all our reservists that we took to Korea. They'd obviously gone back into civilian life. So we were then a skeleton regiment again. And he was one. And it was purely by chance that I went out with her groom and her to a hunt meeting. And I wore my regimental tie. And she walked up and she said, Douglas, what are you doing with an 8th Hussar tie on? I said, because I am an 8th Hussar. Well, Brian was an 8th Hussar, her brother. I said, yeah, I know Brian. And she was one of the nicest women I'd ever met in my life. It was sad when they divorced and she went off to Argentina. But Sarah and her sister Jane my two kids, who was the eldest? Jane was the eldest, then my daughter, then Sarah, and then my Andrew. And to this day, if Sarah was stood outside there, she'd shout, where's my Andrew? My other Andrew. And she's a super kid, despite what everybody says in the paper.
Now, what about the Regimental Association? Do you want to talk a bit about that, just to finish up? How important is it to you?
Very important, really. I keep in touch with as many people as I possibly can. And before the last amalgamation, I was a very keen, I went to virtually anything that I could get to. But since the last amalgamation, which the amalgamated regiment is now four different cavalry regiments, and it is very, very diluted, to, for the want of a better word. Consequently, there's very few people that I know now. And since I had my hip replaced and this back is, I'm pretty immobile, basically. I can't go to any, I don't go to any functions much, but I keep in touch with them as much as ever I can.
It's still important to you.
It is, yeah.
And do you ever regret having joined the army? Or you know,
The only thing I regret about the army is I didn't stay. And that's the biggest mistake I ever made.
And what do you think it did that was good for you then, mentally and physically? What was so good about it?
Well, it makes a man out of any kid, doesn't it? I think. And this is where conscription was good.
And you think it made a man out of you?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.